So, Father, we come around your word and we commit this time to you. Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will lead us, guide us, pray for your anointing. Pray, Lord, that you'll help people to open their minds and open their hearts to the truth. And I pray, Lord, that your people this morning will receive the truth, believe the truth, and then be blessed and their lives changed by the truth. Think of all those people who are going to be listening on the internet to this message. Father, I pray that you will bless them too, wherever they are, on their mobiles, tablets, computers, as they're going to work. I pray, Lord, that you will speak clearly into every heart and bring change for good forever. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak this morning. This is part one of a three-part message on the life that pleases God. The life that pleases God. I've discovered, as maybe you have, there are three groups of people basically in our world and also in the church. There are those people who live to please themselves. And then there are those people who live to please other people. And then there are those people who live to please God. And I stand before you humbly this morning as your pastor, and I say from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, I want to live the rest of my life pleasing God. Because I want, when I get home, I want the hand of the Savior, that nail-scarred hand placed on my shoulder, on my head, and I want to hear my precious Savior say, "Well done, Jim, thou good and faithful servant." I want to hear that above anything else. And so I seek with everything within me to live a life that's pleasing to God. And when I get it wrong, I want always to immediately deal with it. Immediately get my life back in sync. As quickly as possible, if not sooner. In Judges 17 and verse 6, the Bible says this. In those days, there was no king. There's a problem right there. There was no king in Israel. But every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that statement is repeated in Judges 21 and verse 15, verse 25 rather. Let's hear it again. In those days, there was no king in Israel. And as a result, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There are millions of people who live to please themselves. And their attitude is, and maybe you've heard it, I certainly have many times, their attitude is, it's my life. I can do what I want with it. I say to that, wrong. Wrong. Especially if you're a child of God. Did you know that if you're a child of God, you cannot say that? It's my life. I can do what I want with it. Let me show you what I mean. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Paul says, do you not know? Do you not know what? Do you not know that your body, what is it? It's the temple, the dwelling place. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God. Here it is. You are not your own. Have you got it? You're not your own. I'm not my own. I cannot say, don't try and tell me what to do. It's my life. I'll do what I want with it. My life. No, it's not. It's not. Have you got it? It's not. I'm not into getting people to parrot things often, but occasionally I slip. Would you look at the person next to you and say, it's not your life? Maybe we're hearing it for the first time. You mean, Pastor Jim, my life is not my own? Correct. Well, whose is it? His. He paid for it. Hallelujah. Jesus paid for it. And Peter gives us the answer, because Paul says, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, because you're bought with a price, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What's the price? How much has been paid for us? How valuable are we? Peter answers in his first epistle, 1 Peter 1:18. He says, know this, Realize this. Grasp this. You are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. No, no. Then what have we been redeemed with? We've been redeemed with the precious blood. We've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb. Jesus was the Lamb of God, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You're not your own. You are not your own. Would you say it to yourself just now? I am not my own. I'm not my own. I belong to Jesus. He purchased me. He redeemed me. I'm His. Secondly, millions of people live to please other people. I know of a young lady who thought that the person she was about to marry would be pleasing to her father, pleasing to her family, and so she married him. The marriage was a disaster. Many tears. You do not get married to please other people. When you marry to make sure that you're pleasing to him. That Mr. Wright, Miss Wright, be Mrs., wouldn't it? Mrs. Wright, Mr. Wright is his choice. He knows best. You see, men look on the outward appearance. Men look at women. I don't, but some men look at women and think, oh, you know, all this. But that's going to change one day. Women look at men and think, oh. You say, Pastor Jim, you don't. Okay. Maybe I'm on another planet. But the thing is, where I'm going with this is, how does God see people? Does he see all this? And, you know, the hunky and all that? No. The Bible says God looks on the heart. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're not married, help. Ask God to help you to see the heart of the person. Not all that comes out of here. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? If a man is not right with God, if a woman is not right with God, if they're not in a right relationship, then Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak, and they can speak lies. Oh, I love you. Oh, I can't imagine life without you. Yeah. And the first thing that walks by with a short skirt, they're gone. What happened to I love you? Can't live without you. Whereas if God helps you to choose the right person, they will be the right person. When you stand in the church and you say, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, that person will still be by your side. They'll still be there for you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I've got such a wife in Ruth. But I've seen disaster when people live to please other people. What is it, the old saying? You can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all of the time. Don't you try. There's one person to please, and that's God Almighty. Please Him. Live to please Him. Live to please Him. Live to please Him. And many young people are under peer pressure. They don't want to get involved in many of the things that other young people are involved in, but they're under peer pressure. When I was in the army many years ago, I went into the army totally sober. Soon I was drinking. Soon I was legless. Carried back to the barracks, straightened up as we walked past the guardroom so that I wouldn't get arrested and thrown in the glass house, the prison. I only did that. Only went down that road because of others. I got fed up with them calling me sissy and calling me stupid names. I hated it, so I thought, oh, okay, bring it on. Same with smoking. I never smoked. But now, go on, have one. Go on. No, no, no. Thank you very much. No. Go on, have one. So you think, oh, give it here. And then as Neil says, hallelujah, I bumped into Jesus. That changed everything. Peer pressure. Pray for our young people, please. Pray for them. Support them. Mums, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, support them. Pray for them. Share with them. So the question is this morning, who do you live to please? I expected, but I was wrong. I expected about 30 people to shout back at me, Jesus! Okay, I know you're listening. But I repeat, who do you live to please? See, in Proverbs 14 verse 12, the Bible says, there is a way that seems right to a man or right to a woman, but the end thereof is what? It's the way of death. Seems right, but it's not right. It's very wrong. And then in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, the Bible says this. Jeremiah 10, 23. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Can you hear that? Jeremiah says, I know that the way of man, what men and women should do, what young people should do, it's not in themselves. They don't have that ability to choose right and wrong. They need help. It is not in man that liveth or that walketh to direct his steps. And many of you will know Proverbs 3 and verse 5. You can probably quote it off by heart. Here's your chance. Hello? There's a pastor's wife I heard then. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do what?
Lean not
on your own understanding. What are you to do then? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what will happen? You still single? You looking for Mr. Right, Miss Right? There's your verse. There's a word from God for you this morning. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. And all God's people said.
Amen.
How about Isaiah 55 verse 7 where God says, let the wicked, let the rebellious forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy on him. Let him return to our God. He will abundantly pardon. Verse 8, here it is. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. My question is, why live on a lower level than that which God has intended for you? His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. Do you know the hymn? Lord, lift me up and help me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. Or am I speaking a funny language? Lord, lift me up. Then there's a verse that says in that hymn, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. And then the chorus, Lord, lift me up and help me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. It's a great hymn. Look it up. Get on the internet. Genesis 5:21. The Bible introduces us to a man who pleased God. We can learn from him. His name was Enoch. And the Bible says Enoch lived 65 years. And he begot Methuselah. There's a name for your new baby. Verse 22. You know, thinking about that name, we smile because it sounds funny. You think, come here, Methuselah. Do you know what the name meant? Anybody know what the name meant? When he is dead, it will come. Judgment will come. And so there was a man of faith, and he was quite right. Interesting. Bible names are very interesting. And when he was 65, he had a little boy called him Methuselah. And here it is. Enoch walked with God. After he had his son Methuselah, 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Verse 23, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And here it is again. Enoch, verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He was raptured. That could happen to you. There's a clip on the internet, you may have seen it. People are in a service listening to the preacher, and he's preaching on the second coming. Suddenly, he's virtually on his own. Because the congregation had been taken. It just... Anybody seen it? You're all going to the internet now, aren't you? Hopefully not while I'm preaching. And Hebrews 11 and 5, famous verse. By Enoch, or by faith, Enoch was translated, raptured, transferred from earth to heaven, that he should not see death. And he was not found, because God had translated him, he had taken him. And here it is, before his translation, before his rapture, before his removal from earth to heaven, the Bible says he had this testimony that he pleased God. If you remember nothing else about the message, please remember that. And so I have a question. What was it about Enoch's life that pleased God? Many things, but just briefly. Verse 22 and 24. I've already read it. Enoch walked with God. That's it. Enoch walked with God. He walked habitually. That's what walk means in Bible terms. He walked habitually with God. And you know something about walking with God? When you walk with God, you no longer walk with the world. Oh, you're in it, but you're not of it. Jesus prayed for his disciples and he said, Father, John 17, I'm not asking you to take them out of, but I'm asking you to keep them in. Keep them, protect them. We pray, don't we? Deliver us from the evil one in the Lord's Prayer. So I say again, when you walk with God, you no longer walk with the world. Period. Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed, highly favored, privileged, to be envied. It's all in there in the word blessed. Blessed is the man that walketh not, does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. How many people you hear saying, oh, they say, I don't care what they say. If what they say doesn't match with this, forget it. Amen. Thank you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but here it is, but his or her delight is in what? It's in the word of God. And in that law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a productive tree, a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know something I discovered when I look into the word? That God calls his people to come out from the ways of the world. Did you know that? God calls his people to come out from the ways of the world. 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in the church at Corinth. And it's applicable to us today as believers. He says, do not... Friend, I say it lovingly and yet forcefully, don't you dare ever consider marrying an unbeliever. Don't even for a second think about it. Bible says don't do it. But not just, you see, oh, he's a lovely Christian. Is he? She's a lovely Christian. Is she? Does she live her life by the word? Does he live his life by the word? Are they people of prayer? Are they filled with the Spirit? Are they people that listen to God, that hear God, that are intimate with God, you know, spend time with him? Do they know God's will for their life? Are they being obedient to that? Not just unequally yoked in the sense of, oh, Christian, what we do? What type of Christian? Because you know, don't you, there are many types of Christians. There are those who live by this and those who please themselves. And they're all over the place. So be careful. Paul says, don't do it. He's not saying, well, here's something you ought to consider. No, he says, don't do it. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, period. And then he asks the question, look, he says, what fellowship, what unity, what harmony has righteousness with lawlessness? And the answer is
none.
And what communion, what fellowship, what harmony has light with darkness? And the answer is
none.
And what accord, what unity, what harmony, what relationship has Christ with Belial, the devil? And the answer is
none.
Keep going, you're doing well. And what part has the believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement is the temple of God with idols? You are the temple of the living God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing this morning? That the Almighty God lives and moves in you and in me. God says, verse 16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and I'll walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Verse 17. Therefore, what are you to do? Come out. God says, come out. Come out from among them and be separate. Don't touch what's unclean. God says, I'll receive you and I'll be a father to you. And you'll be my sons, you'll be my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So I say again, God calls his people to come out from the ways, the customs, the lifestyle, the language, the habits, the socializing, the things the world do. And God's word teaches us that we're not to love the world. Oh yeah, love them in the sense that you want to see them one to Christ, yeah? You go into all the world and preach the gospel. But we're not to love their ways. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now this is very strong language. John says, if a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, that means craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, that means greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, that means the assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. John says, these do not come from the Father, but they come from the world. Verse 17, the world passes away, and the lust thereof. Ah, but he or she that does the will of God, what happens? They abide forever. I'm a forever person. How about you? I'm going to be around a long time. When you get to eternity, I'm going to be right next door to you. So you better like me while I'm here. James 4:4 says, know you not that the friendship of the world, what is it? It's enmity with God. Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Just give me about another 5 minutes and I'm through. Romans 12 verse 1, you know it, I'm sure. Let me remind you of it. It's where I live. Romans 12 verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you. I'll expand that in a moment with the Amplified Bible. But Paul says, I beseech you, I plead with you. Brethren, by that, or because of the mercies of God, that you do what? You present your bodies. Just a little bit. You present your bodies. From here to here. That lovely hymn we sing sometimes. Take my hands. Let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my lips. Let them speak. Take my mind. Take my heart. Take my will. Make it thine. It will be no longer mine. Beautiful hymn. If you don't know it, look it up again. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is. In the light of all he did. Be transformed. Don't be conformed, says Paul, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Don't do it. Don't go there. But be transformed. How? By the renewing of the mind. How? Get this book in there. Meditate on it. Read it. Study it. Let the Holy Spirit make it alive to you. It's what keeps me right. And Paul says, then you'll prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now here's the Amplified Bible. I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and I beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies. I like that. To make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, this age. Don't be fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewing of your mind, by its new ideals, its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Hallelujah. There is nothing that will renew your mind and keep it right like the word of God. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. David said in the Psalms, he says, look, by me taking note of what you've said in your word, I've kept myself from the path of the destroyer. Hallelujah. Remember what Peter said, that there is an enemy who lurketh around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I have a big sign, you can't see it, but it says, devil, back off. Because greater is he who is in me than you, little fella, than he that's in the world. Amen? Let me summarize. Big word. Let me bring it together. The life that pleases God is a life that is lived separated from the world. In the world, but not of it. The world do things I'm not interested in. We have a television in our lounge. I rarely watch it. Why should I listen to swearing? Why should I watch bed hopping? And listen to that nonsense that's coming out of that screen. Why? Jesus lives in me. And I imagine he's here looking through my eyes, listening with my ears. Does he want to hear that stuff, see that stuff? No. We really can't excuse it. So the life that pleases God is a life that's lived separated from the world, not conformed to the world. Number two, the life that pleases God is a life that is lived in habitual fellowship with God. And Amos 3:3 says, can two people walk together unless they be agreed? Answer, no. And number three, the life that pleases God is the life that is lived in total obedience to the word of God. And the word of God and the will of God are one. And fourthly and finally for today, the life that pleases God is the life that is lived by faith. Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch. By faith Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6 says, without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because he or she who comes to God must what? Must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, wholeheartedly, sincerely seek him. I finish with 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9. It's a great scripture. New King James Version, best translation is the King James, without a doubt. Occasionally I go into another translation only because I believe it makes it easier to understand some things. Second Corinthians 5 verse 9, Paul says, we make it our aim. We make it our aim. Here's something for you to go away with this morning, brother, sister. Listening by the internet, the recording of this service. Here's something for you to go away with. We make it our aim. I say to you today before these witnesses, I make it my aim, Father. I make it my aim to be well-pleasing to you. Will you join me this morning? If you'll join me, will you stand, please? We make it our aim to be well-pleasing to the Lord. Next week, I'm going to look at the best possible example in the Bible of a man who pleased God. Father, we stand before you this morning. Yes, at the invitation of a man, but I'd like to think at the invitation of the Spirit of God. And Father, as your servant, as I stand before your precious people, your blood-bought people, I can't think of anything better than for all of us to be able to stand and say, I make it my aim, we make it our aim, from this day on, to be pleasing to God. And I pray that you will help every man, woman, boy and girl, and every person who hears this message by means of recording, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that those words will become a reality in every life. From this day on, I make it my aim to be well pleasing to God. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Bless you.